Sunday morning, 5:26:25. What? Man, am I jumping ahead? Okay.
It's not our anniversary yet.
Maybe that's what I was thinking about. I'm not ready yet. Yeah, my big black one's up here. Okay. The title is called All Things Are Yours.
Oh, you're wearing it?
Yeah. All Things Are Yours. It seems the thing to do in the Christian world is to blame the devil. They say, the devil did this and the devil did that. Very little is said about God did this or God did that. Just observe when you're talking with people what comes out of their mouth. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Have you ever heard that? Oh, the devil's just beating me up all week. What's God doing? Well, I don't know. I can't tell because I'm just focusing on what the devil's doing. All right, Matthew 12. Start with 34 there. Oh, generation of vipers, Jesus is saying here, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Right here, heart, right here, the word heart. The thoughts or feelings, the mind. Also the middle, the production center. When a woman has a baby, where does she carry the baby? In the middle. I cannot find any scripture that even indicates the devil has the power of death or life. Okay. Even in the scripture in the Old Testament, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue, not in the power of the devil. This is Proverbs 18:21. God made us that way, that whatever we say, that's what you get. That's what he did. God said, light be, light was. Satan has only one power, and that is deception. He sets about to trick you out of what God has given you. Already given. He did it in the garden with the woman, and he has continued with this platform throughout history. How does he do this? First, he does whatever he can to get you off what God has said. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. We just go to 15. Everybody knows the parable of the sower. And these are they, or the, it says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Genesis 3, 1 through 13, what happened? Let's go there. Now the serpent was more subtle than all any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I wonder if that's why animals don't talk. Because he said the serpent was more subtle than any beast. It says he's a beast of the field. People say, oh, he's the green man, he's this and that. Well, it says here he's a beast of the field. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What happened? He just tricked her out of the word she already knew. He tricked her. Beguiled. Right here, she talks to the Lord, asked her about it, and she said, the serpent beguiled me, verse 13, and I did eat. To lead astray, to delude, or to seduce. Here's what delude is. To mislead the mind of judgment of, deceive or trick. He's a trickster. He understands you have the say and what you say goes, so he seeks to get you to change your words into what he wants for you and not what already is said belongs to you. In other words, you abandon what God says and you listen to what the trickster's saying. If you maintain your stance, he's in dead water. He uses fear that affects your feelings, which he always has. He uses fear in your feelings to try to persuade you to come over to his side. False evidence appearing real. That's what he does. I mean, we all have experienced it. He doesn't have the power of life and death. You do. Your tongue does. Okay, 1 Peter 5. If you get a hold of this today, I mean really get a hold of it, and just start saying only what you want, you'll start seeing a change. Right here, Peter likens him to a roaring lion. He makes a big noise to scare. Humble yourselves. This is verse 6. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. That's very essential, casting care. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So he uses fear. Fear tactics get you to abandon the word. All right, the roar of a lion is to cause fear to the potential prey. So many of God's children are not on the throne today as they should be, seated where they need to be seated because of that. Fear. Just imagine you're at a Trump rally and you have been standing in line for several days in the rain and the cold. And as soon as you get to that long-awaited seat, someone steps in ahead of you and takes it. Here's what the devil is doing 24/7 all over the church world. We must violently keep our seat. This is Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Force means to seize. I would have no problem telling someone that stepped up in front of me to take my seat just where to go. I've been standing out here for 3 days, and you think you're going to step up and take my seat? I don't think so. Why don't we treat the devil that way? I've been standing my ground. There ain't no way you're taking my seat. Just think about it. Ephesians 2:6. It's about time we quit watching Satan's programming and wasting our time on those empty pursuits, because that is what they are. I can remember when I used to watch television on Sundays. I hadn't watched television in years except my program, really. And I can remember all the garbage that came just through the airways. It's nonstop. There might be a little bit of the program, and then you got all these commercials, and it was nothing good. mainly geriatrics on Sunday afternoon. You know, I know people that have got major problems in their life, but they don't have time to get in their closet and seek God till they get an answer. But they can watch Hallmark and, you know, all the stuff all day. Am I hitting home? And they wonder, why don't God do something for me? It's because what the Lord told came through your dad, a word. My people are missing about 90% of what I'm talking to them about because they've got their mind on so much other stuff all the time. They give me a little bit, but most of their time is spent on this and going to that and doing this and doing that. But they want to see the miracle of God. You know what it takes to have someone like that? Someone that's pulled themselves aside and is diligent 24/7. That's the type. That's the type God will use to do that. Just go look at the apostles in the Bible. What they went through, what they did, they had that power for a reason. Not because they sat on their butts and watched Lifetime all day. What do you want? Like Jesse DePenis, what in hell do you want? Well, nothing. Nothing. I don't want anything to do with hell and Satan. I want everything God has for me, but am I willing to pay the price? You're not going to get that tongue under control unless you're in the Word and you're praying in the Spirit, and I mean diligently. Ephesians 2:6. We got a lot of work ahead of us to help people get this. 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The good thing is that we don't have to wait for a seat, we already seated. We don't have to wait in the rain or in the cold, waiting for a seat to go to a rally. We're already seated with Him. We just got to keep our seat. All right, here it was, it means to sit, to give or take a seat in company with. Just like you'd push an intruder out of the way that you've been standing in line for days to get a seat, and they try to get your seat, you'd have them out of your seat and probably on the ground before and not think a thing about it. But then, on the other side of that, people let the devil just stomp them in the ground and they don't do anything. They understand this in a natural setting, but in a spiritual one, they don't get it. You got to be as diligent in the Spirit, really more so than you are in the natural. You be like Eve. The devil can just talk you out of anything. Just give you a little nudge here. I'm not trying to be funny here today. I'm trying to be as serious as I know how to be because this is where people live. Some of them talk at 24/7 out of their mouth. And they wonder why they have problems. What does the thief come to do? Steal, kill, destroy. John 10:10. Colossians 2:15 says Jesus whipped the devil, disarmed him. We'll look at that one, 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Do we believe he really did it? Do we believe it? God gave us back a rightful seat of authority. What the devil tricked the woman out of in the garden, Jesus gave our seat back. Our seat of authority. Let's go look at our authority. Genesis 1. From the very beginning, it was laid down. This is 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Not just Jesus, but all of us, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He put man in full control. Not the game wardens. Sadly, most churches know nothing about this. So those that come here, this is the message you're going to hear. So they better be serious, because I'm not going to waste my time. 2 Timothy. If you want to waste your time, there's churches on every corner about throughout town that you can go hear a nice little something to make you feel good for the day. Well, we didn't come here for that. This is right here. This is 22. It says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves. It's not my job to pray for you while you go do your stuff. It's to instruct you so you can recover yourself out of the snare of the devil, who is taken captive by him at his will. The last few decades has been the prayer chain decades, where everybody just has somebody else do their praying for them. That's not what the scripture says do. Pray for yourself. I'm too busy. The scripture calls Satan the deceiver. This is in Revelation chapter 9, 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Yay, they come to earth. And this is what we've been putting up with. But Jesus whipped him. He whipped him. So there's no reason to be sad. Deceiveth means to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, or seduce. They're all mind games, and our weapons of warfare are for mental warfare. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10 is the first one. Verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It bothers me when I hear people talk about, oh, God healed me, but they used the cabal system to get well. But God healed me. Well, God didn't use that to heal you. You used that to heal you. God didn't use it to heal you. No, this is a mental thing right here, these weapons. It's for warfare, because that's where the roaring lion comes at you, is in your mind. Now look, Ephesians 10, the armor of God, we know it's all about protecting your mind. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You can't do it in your might. It's His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, that's trickery, of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are these demonic entities we've been talking about. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This goes around the mind, the loin belt. That's where the weapons were held, the loin belt. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with you I'll be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. So he's given us the Holy Ghost to be able to intercede for us. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but he will take hold together with us to help us in this and keep our stand. As Christians, we have a great responsibility to control our tongue. We were given it to create good and not evil. It's the enemy, the fall, that caused that to be distorted. All right, James 3. If we really want everything God says that He has done for us, then we're going to have to get our creators, in other words, our tongue, death and life, power of the tongue, is going to have to get in line. He can't help you if you speak with forked tongue. All right. James 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. If you're talking sickness and disease and going on about the outside, and then you talk to your body and tell it to get in the line, isn't that a double standard? Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. How do you think the devil nearly took over our whole world? Well, through his deception, his propaganda machine, Mockingbird, watching it and speaking it. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue no man can tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made at the temptation of God. Oh, Lord, thank you, my body, that you healed my body. Then we go down on the street and say, well, that, you know, you better get out of the way. You're going to get hit. You know, some stupid something like that out of our mouth. It's not a blessing. We're neutralizing a lot of things by our speech. Out of the mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth out of the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. We got to get our tongues under control. It takes discipline to keep your seat. We're going to look at a few scriptures here and we'll be done. Philippians 2:11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know what? When we are speaking what God has said, isn't that the same? James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So if we speak evil, God can't hear that. He can't honor that. Oh, help us, Lord. We want to do it right. Let's look at some Proverbs. There's quite a bit in the Proverbs about the tongue. This is Proverbs 10. Verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. 31, same chapter. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. I'd hate to think my mouth was so bad the Lord had to cut it out, my tongue. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. What are we speaking out of our mouths? Life or death? Proverbs 15:2. Oh, pray for me that God will heal me. Well, I'm just so much pain. If I don't get to the doctor, and if I don't get my prescription filled, you know. I'd be choosy who I prayed for. Not everybody qualifies. All right, 15. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness. Isn't that silly? That's like salt and pure water in the same mouth. What I just said. Oh, let's pray. Oh, we pray they're healed in Jesus' name. Well, I'm hurting so bad, I just got to get to the doctor. Not profound, but true. Because that is what I have seen mostly in the church. They get prayed for on Sunday, and if it don't manifest by Monday, they go to the doctor. Oh, God healed me. No, the doctor did. God doesn't use medicine. He doesn't need it. He raises the dead, for crying out loud. All right. 15:2. All right, I just read that one. 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. If we're going to have that flow, like we were talking about in the first teaching, mouth goes with it. 16:1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 17:20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, neither hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. See, people don't understand. They've talked them their way into their situation. Or out of it. Okay, let's see. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. All right, we're going to look at one Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 3:8. This speaks like our day. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. All six networks owned by the cabal, speaking Satan's narrative 24 hours a day. Is what brought this nation nearly to ruin. That tongue's powerful, isn't it? That message. And then people speak it. One more. 1 Corinthians 3. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. He meant for it all to be yours. And ye are Christ and Christ is God's. You're seated with him to act like him. He reigns. And we've been made to reign. Sit with him in heavenly places. But we have to get in line. We've got to say the right things. Or we speak with forked tongue and we're not going to see any progress. All right.